Okay, guys, it's the Great Debates, and we're back with the regular old episode.
Whoa, don't undersell our episodes.
It's the first day of the rest of our lives here, I feel like, a little bit.
But we're not at Great Debate Studios.
No, we're not. Here's where we are. We're backstage in the green room at UCB, and we just thought, we're here, let's rip a podcast.
What the hell, let's just do it. We had some other business to do.
We did a little warm-up for our buddies, the Cooties.
Yeah,
they're cool guys.
They're great.
And we're not listening to their set right now. We're back and I feel bad about that.
I mean, we know all the Cooties songs by heart.
Yeah, so it's cool.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I'd really like to just jump into a micro right now.
Okay, I got one for you.
I'm itching.
Steve Healy taking the pro, 3 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
Most astronauts are attractive.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Of course, most astronauts are attractive. They're astronauts. First of all, they're in physically great shape. To be an astronaut, almost all of them are military pilots. They're in good physical condition. They've been put through the ringer. They've been made to fly upside down. They've been training in deep water pools to practice weightlessness. They're strong and physically fit Air Force people in the prime of their careers. Plus, they're astronauts. They're people who forget their physical appearance. These are people who put their lives on the line to advance science. They're brave, courageous, and steady and calm. No matter, even if they were born physically unattractive, they're going to be attractive just through the calm of their nature and their coolness and their ability to maintain calm in stressful situations. That's what the job of an astronaut is. Most astronauts are attractive.
Most astronauts, I got to tell you, Healy, are not. You're painting this picture that they're like Braveheart or something. The truth is, most astronauts are scientists. They're nerds. They're wonks. They're, you know, doctors and physicists and bioengineers who, they did some amount of physical training, but you're trying to paint this crazy picture like they're ubermensch triathletes who've been blasted into space as representatives of mankind.
That's not the right stuff. That's what they are. I mean, admittedly, astronaut is becoming more technocratic, but still a lot of them are Navy or Air Force pilots. And even the bioengineers and the technicians, they've all been vetted by NASA to be capable of going on the Today Show. They are attractive just because through the selection process. NASA's not picking some ugly weirdo to go into space and then talk about it on Good Morning America.
They are, but Healy, a lot of things to parse here. First of all, you seem to be under the misunderstanding that the right stuff is some sort of documentary, when in fact it's a movie where men were picked, handpicked because of their attractiveness.
Look at those real life guys. Look at John Glenn. Look at what's his name?
John Glenn is not that attractive. He was, I believe, balded prematurely. He certainly wasn't known for his handsomeness.
Virgil Gus Grissom. These guys were attractive guys. They'd fought MiGs over Korea. Okay, they were cool, awesome American heroes. Neil Armstrong was a good looking guy. Buzz Aldrin's good looking.
Neil Armstrong is actually kind of an odd looking man. And Buzz Aldrin if you're going to use the sort of calm and the courageous and say like these people have become attractive not just because of their physical attributes but because of attractive as human beings. Well, Buzz Aldrin is a lunatic who has become sort of very unattractive and almost violent and odd and like prone to conspiracy theories. I got to say something else. If you're going to bring up the right stuff, I'm going to say there is a reason that Sandra Bullock, or rather the choice of Sandra Bullock and George Clooney to play two astronauts in Gravity, was internationally decried as absurd because that is not what astronauts
like. I don't remember an international decrying of huge hit Oscar-winning movie Gravity.
Well, just because the movie won Oscars doesn't mean that like people with better taste and whatever. The timer went off. No, people who like desire a certain amount of realism in their movies.
Medina, what'd you think?
I didn't even get to the diaper lady. Real bummer.
Fine. You want to talk about Diaper Lady? Diaper Lady was so... whoever she was boning, who was also an astronaut, was so attractive that she wore a diaper and drove from Texas to Florida to get with him again.
That is just thinking about the Diaper Lady the other day.
You want to be attractive
diaper lady.
To.
I hadn't thought about it in so long. What a great, weird... What a simpler time.
Oh, when you can say that again.
When weird stuff when diaper happened lady, back then, it was just like not that big a deal.
When you could be like, man, diaper what a lady. Weird day. Diaper Lady.
Yeah. Now it's much darker.
I'm worried we might miss the next diaper lady because we'll be too focused on Trump.
The news cycle will be dominated by the...
It may have happened.
It could have happened. If you know about a diaper lady type scenario,
please tell us.
Tweet at us.
A news aggregator for the stuff that's left in the dust by the Trump machine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, Dean, sorry. What do you think of the debate?
I'm going with Dave.
Hell yeah, pimp.
Steve's so pissed.
Wow, I'm not that pissed. I think you're wrong. Sometimes I think you're right. Sometimes I think you're wrong.
Do you think that? Do you, aside from what you had to argue, do you think that most astronauts are attractive?
Yeah, the topic wasn't handsome. It wasn't beautiful. It was attractive, and I think almost all of them to a man is attractive.
Wish you had made a larger case about that.
I mean, I think I made it pretty clear, guys.
That would have been good.
You said that it was because they're courageous and calm. I don't know, man.
You got to remember that, a lot of times I'm playing a role of an audience member who just is sort of tuned out and
playing.
You gotta hit me over the head with it, you know.
True.
It's hard. I mean, come on, you know.
Okay. I mean, we're only asking you to pay attention for 3 minutes for the micros, but if that's too much to ask, I get it. We'll try to hit you harder. Are we host chat?
Yeah, I think we're in host chat. We're getting into host chat. We already talked about diaper ladies.
Healy, I know you're the self-proclaimed king of host chat, but if you don't mind, I want to take the reins a little bit here. I've got little game to play.
Yeah.
It's called, do you want to make fun of me for this?
Yeah, okay, great. Okay.
I'm going to expose myself a little bit and tell you guys about a new interest of mine.
Great.
And you can tell me that you can either say people deserve to make fun of you for this, or you can be on my side.
Cool.
And I honestly don't know which. What's right.
I'm hearing you. Yeah.
Okay. I have become a very amateur deltiologist. Do you know what that is, Healy?
What's a deltiologist, Dave?
A deltiologist, if I believe is the right word, is a dude or a lady who collects postcards.
Oh.
And I am super into one kind of old postcard that I find very aesthetically pleasing, and I've been buying. I've been going on eBay.
What, like one brand?
Yes,
one style.
I'm very into linen postcards manufactured by the Kurt Teich Company out of Chicago.
Okay.
They have a very specific color palette.
Okay.
I sort of accidentally fell into this.
What period were they running?
They're roughly most popular from the late 30s to the 50s. And you can, if there's a postmark on them, you can more accurately date them. But there's also a sort of stamp of a sort of what do you call it? Code, sort of a serial number of its time. I've been here's what's going on. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
There's every day for the past week or so, fair number of envelopes coming at my door with eBay and Etsy stickers on them.
Okay.
Do you want to make fun of me for this?
Well, I tell you what. Let he who is without fault in the one hand. I can't make fun of you for that. I have a couple weird collections of my own that are fairly eccentric. But this, I am gonna make fun of you for it.
Wow.
But not for the reason that you think.
Okay, what's the reason?
I collected postcards from about age 8 to 12.
Wow.
A time when we were getting a lot of postcards. My grandmother would get postcards. She would give them to me. I probably have 500 postcards in a bin somewhere in my parents' house.
Wow.
And, you know, there's something to it. They tell a little story.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting, but I think you are too old.
What am I doing?
You're neither old enough nor young enough.
Very strange. Yeah. And
I think there's a hole in your life, and so we should make fun of you just for the sake of pointing what's going on.
What's the deeper thing?
I'm
going
to say it's a healthy and I mean it in the best spirit, making fun of you, because this is not how an adult man should be spending
his time. More age-appropriate hobby for you to pursue.
Yeah, or just something. Yeah. Or I'm sure you have enough of these now. It's enough
for
this.
Oh, yeah. No, and there's no end game. I don't know what I plan to do with them. I enlarge.
That's my question. Do they go into a storage container of some kind, or do you have a handsome
Right now, they're just in a couple of... No, they're in... Right, I need I just started, so I need a long-term storage plan.
You could buy a nice wooden box with a little clasp to.
Well, I'm a little worried about the humidity in there.
Also, by the way, just because lack of confidence.
That's good. Yeah. Should have sold it better. You're saying.
I'm looking at these Kurt Teich postcards, and they're great. I mean,
they're very pretty. I think
nice. It sounds different all of a sudden.
It does sound a little different.
Well, that's because...
tell them what happened.
We were at UCB. We were recording in the green room, and it was very loud in there. And then some people came in, and they wanted to have a fun party or something like that, and we had to leave.
Well, we shouldn't have been recording there in the first place.
Probably rogue recording.
Hey, guys, I have a fun game I think we could play.
Oh, okay.
Great.
The game is called Physical Singles.
Weird.
What?
Yeah. And it's kind of a trivia game that was prompted by me looking on Wikipedia's list of the best-selling singles, music singles of all time.
Okay.
But they've organized the list into physical, like, units and digital. So, like, we're talking about moving actual physical units of music.
Oh, okay. So, like, Spotify downloads don't.
That's a different list that we're going to get into, too.
We're going to get into
it. But first, we're going to play physical singles.
I love playing physical singles.
So, what? Okay. I don't know anything. I didn't know that you were going to do this. But
I know. It's fun.
Okay, you're right.
I love the games.
The first question is, can any of you guys, Dan or Dave, do you think you can guess any of the top three physical singles by units moved of all time?
Yeah.
Can you name any of them?
I don't think I can.
Come on. Just start guessing.
You want to just hear guesses? Yeah. First thought is the Princess Di Elton John thing.
Yes.
Goodbye England's Rose.
Candle in the Wind is number two.
Is
what?
That,
yeah.
That's
the original is number two?
The 1997
two?
One. Was that one Di?
No, that's Princess Di.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's
number it.
Two.
That's
Are you serious?
Two?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Goodbye England's Rose?
Yes, listed as Candle in the Wind, Something About the Way You Look Tonight, double single.
They put to, my recollection is that
Davis.
To increase sales.
Very impressed.
It was like done for charity, right?
Okay, Ride Your Streaks. Can you guess another one?
Mine is, guess is We Are the World.
We Are the World is in the top 10, but not the top three.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Yeah, great guess.
I have to imagine that it skews towards like the latter half of the 20th century just because there's more people buying stuff. Oh, is there like I Want to Hold Your Hand or something? Is there a Beatles one in the top three? Okay. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. That's a guess.
That's in the top 10, not top three.
Thriller.
Is Michael Jackson in there?
It's a big album. No, he's not on the top 10.
Oh, it's more of an album. Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic.
The Great number guess. Three
yeah.
physical selling single of all time, Silent Night, recorded by Bing Crosby.
Okay, yeah.
Moved 30 million units.
You're kidding
totally
me.
Buy that. No, totally.
Next was Candle in the Wind, moved 33 million units.
Yeah.
Number one moved 50 million units.
Okay. Can you give us a hint, like the year or something?
It came out in 1942.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm.
America is at war.
Mm-hmm.
People are dispersed all over the world.
The Chattanooga Choo Choo.
And they wanted to hear a song that made them think of home. And the song...
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Dan, I believe we have a clip of the song.
Okay. Wait, what?
We can play this song.
You planned this?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why don't you tell me about these things? Oh, wow.
I love this.
Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
So he's got two of the top
Just
three.
Two like of the top three. Okay, next trivia question. Are you ready?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's a great song.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I want to keep listening to it.
No, we gotta
Isn't
keep,
it great
we gotta
that we have Christmas music again
it's
right
so
now?
Nice.
I've been listening to it almost nonstop.
Okay, question number two. 1998 is the last time a physical single broke the 10 million unit barrier.
Okay.
Two songs did it that year.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hypnotize.
One of them was Britney Spears with...
Toxic.
Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, it's Did It Again.
Maybe one more time.
98?
It was 98?
Yeah.
I thought it was earlier. Wow.
What was the second song that cracked?
Well, the second one...
Backstreet's Back.
Ooh.
Good guess.
Can you give me...
Oh, Tell Me What You Want, What You Really, Really Want.
Good guess.
That was like 96, 97.
It all blurs together. I was in college.
Was it... Is it Two-Headed Boy by Neutral Milk Hotel?
Dan, can you play me clip number two?
1998. This is Cher's Do You Believe?
Yeah.
This is 98?
Wow.
What? Are we just a radio show now?
Kind of. What is this? Yes.
It's we're on great. The
radio. Okay.
It did have that infectious little...
Yeah, you can't help but move a bit, right?
Well, you can. I mean, you don't have to...
Okay, question number three.
It was that weird auto-tune.
Are you ready?
I would call it the dawn of auto-tune. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys ready to play another trivia?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Whatever, man.
In 1967, a song is released where the title is the name of a U.S. state. It went on to sell 5 million physical copies.
Say that again. In
1967, a song is released. The title is the name of a U.S. state.
Oklahoma.
Went on to sell 5 million physical copies.
Not Oklahoma.
No? What is the song?
Massachusetts? Bee Gees? That's too early.
Dan, can you play the next clip?
Oh, it is. I hate these guys.
Really? I love these guys.
I don't get it. Never got it.
I think they're so cool.
That's not correct.
Yeah, I think they're actually kind of cool.
No.
Good job, Dave.
Anyway, was that fun?
Yeah,
pretty
was that
good.
Anything? Yeah, it's a game, you know.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one quick debate?
Yeah, let's have a debate.
Before we get to okay. Yes.
This isn't a game show.
It's a debate show.
Yeah.
The topic is for Steve Healy to take the pro on.
Yes.
Sounds right.
Very simple.
Okay.
Fish tastes good.
Well, all right.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
What are we doing, guys?
What other animal do humans enjoy eating completely raw, totally unadorned? Only fish. We like the taste of fish. And we like it fried. We like it grilled. We like it boiled. We like it in stews. We like it in a sandwich. We like the worst kind of cruddy fish all fried up and put together in a McDonald's fish fillet. We fillet of fish, I should say. Sorry. Fish tastes good to the human mouth. We like fish. It tastes good to us. We love eating it. It's eaten all over the world. Everywhere you can catch fish, people are eating fish. People love the taste of fish.
The number one insult that people use.
I knew you were going to go this fishy. Yeah, fishy. That's bad. That's when fish goes bad. Rotten meat doesn't smell good either.
People... If I don't like the taste of something,
yeah.
I'm not saying this tastes like bad fish. I'm saying this tastes fishy or this smells fishy.
Yeah.
This chicken or this soup has like a fish taste to it.
Yeah. It's a food that goes bad.
It doesn't
easily.
Taste good. Most fish taste terrible. Also, let's
tell that to sharks.
Well,
and dolphins.
I assume that the thing we're debating is that fish tastes good to people.
Well, it's not in the topic.
Well, okay. You know what? That's fine. Healy, that's fine. You know what? You're right. Shark think that fish tastes good, but most animals don't eat fish because it tastes bad to them.
Bears eat fish.
You're right. Bears eat fish.
No, most animals don't eat fish because they can't get it.
It would be far easier to list the animals that do eat fish than the animals that don't eat fish.
The animals that don't eat fish don't eat it because they can't get it.
That's not true. That's not necessarily true.
Heathcliff, the cat, loves fish.
Heathcliff is notorious for his bad taste. He's digging stuff out of the trash.
He's a man of the world. He's like a gentleman.
He's got, look at his fashion sense. It's garbage. He's wearing like,
you don't fashion sense. For a cat, I'd say it's highly evolved. Doesn't he wear a bow tie sometimes?
Let's go back to your point about most animals don't have access to fish.
Okay.
I think that if a bear can get to a fish, then most land animals can get to fish, and they choose not to. Deer could eat fish if they wanted to, but they don't.
A bear has a claws. It's standing in the river. It's clever. It gets
fish. Okay, so like pig and boar have, which by the way, you mentioned like what animal do people eat with such like in all these different ways? Well, the answer is a pig and a cow and other animals. And in some cultures, even like a horse.
You've
and
never
also
once
a
in your
rabbit.
Life. Okay, horse off the table. It's like unacceptable to eat horse in this country.
Why is that? Why is it acceptable to eat fish but not horse?
Because horse is gross and horses are beautiful and we don't want to eat
them. Okay, a couple.
Now, cow and pig, you've never once in your life eaten them raw.
Oh, that's not true. You're so wrong.
Okay, you've eaten a bite or two of beef tartare. But
Healy,
there's no restaurant in LA that the only thing they, or in the world, the only thing they serve is raw cow or raw pig.
Couple of things.
And there's hundreds of thousands of restaurants all over the world that serve just raw fish.
That doesn't mean that it tastes good. It also, those restaurants, first of all, are like only serving a very small percentage of the human population, which is to say like
the 130 million people in Japan?
Yes, relative to the 7 billion people who live on this earth, that is a very small population. Thank you for proving my
Spain?
Point. Okay, well that's...
All across Latin America?
Okay, we need to clear up a couple things. Sushi isn't just raw fish. It is very carefully prepared, and it is often like... cured in some ways, and a lot of the fish that you eat at least American sushi restaurants is not raw, it is cooked, and a lot of the fish is not just fish, it is embellished in some way with either a ponzu sauce or scallions, or in most of the cases, rice. Let me make a couple other points, if I may. Another thing about sushi is that a lot of people hate it. They don't like the taste of fish. Like, one of the defining characteristics about human culinary taste is like, oh, do you like seafood? Do you like fish? A lot of people are like, no, I don't eat it. And some people are like, yeah, I like it. And some people are like, I love it. That's not the case with other foods. Like, you don't hear, like, people don't say, like, are you like a salad guy? Would you do, like, that doesn't happen. Well, sushi, it does. Wait, I have some notes.
This is one
here
of those debates where I've just kind of been chilling for a while because, like, it's an uphill battle for you, and that's tough.
I'll go back to the. Let me elaborate on an earlier point, which is that, like, fish tastes good. The fish that you eat when it's at its absolute freshest and when it's prepared perfectly tastes pretty good. But most fish in both lakes and in the sea taste terrible. And even, like, your. Like average fish, like a tilapia or like a sea bass, if you just eat the fish alone, it's bad. Like, or at the very least, it's like bland. Also, there's such a narrow window of freshness during which to eat the fish. Also, I have to say that I used to eat a lot of raw beef in the form of ground.
That's
raw
ground hamburger. Weirdo. Okay,
that's
cool.
Not true.
Most people
delicious.
Don't do that. Yeah.
If you eat raw hamburger, like round hamburger with a pinch of salt on there, it's so good. My mom used to feed that to me, like if she was cooking burgers for dinner, and it was awesome.
I'm gonna try that.
I mean, I'll keep enumerating points here if you're just going to sit there and not say anything.
I don't think you're making any
points. Closing statements.
Yeah, make a closing statement here, pal.
Okay. Most human beings do not like the taste of fish. It's one of the few foods where we have a large population that does not want to eat that. That's why seafood restaurants are more of a like side industry as opposed to like the norm. That's why like no restaurant would ever just serve fish and not advertise themselves as a seafood restaurant. You need to know that if you can only eat fish at a place, that it's like, it has to have a name like, you know, whatever, the fish place. That's a bad name, for example, but most fish taste terrible or are literally like inedible. Some fish are poisonous, for God's sakes. Not so the case like with for a fish to taste good, it has to be the best quality cut of fish. It has to be prepared perfectly. It has to be cooked perfectly. Like, what other food do you have the case where it's like, oh, if this, like a blowfish, if you don't prepare that perfectly, you could die. That doesn't happen with, like, a turkey sandwich. It's not like if you toast your turkey sandwich a minute too long, you're going to die from poison. Fish doesn't taste good.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up blowfish. You somehow threw me a great point to start my closing arguments. Like, people are willing to risk death to eat fish. That's how delicious it is. I'm just going to sum up real quick, because I think I won this debate in kind of a lopsided way. Almost every human eats fish or has eaten fish. Every sea animal, as we discussed, eats tons of fish. And bears and the land animals that are capable of getting fish eat it. Fish is served at McDonald's, the most popular restaurant in the world. Fish is the only food that's eaten raw because the taste of it is so delicate and wonderful and good. Fish tastes good.
I mean, in a lot of cultures, people eat bugs raw. Like, it's not the only thing that's served raw.
I'm prepared
raw.
To argue bugs taste good.
That's not the issue.
Medina, yeah, you're right.
Your point was that, like, it's so spectacular that it's the only animal that we
if
eat
If you
raw.
Do an impression of me, I know that you've lost. It's so satisfying. Medina, what'd you think?
I mean, yeah, I think I'm going to go with heels. It tastes good.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. Yeah. Are you going with heels because it tastes good or because he won?
Because he convinced me that it tastes good.
Of course it tastes good. That's not the question. I love fish. This debate really pained me. I didn't want to speak ill of fish. I love it.
I actually don't really like
it. I admire you, Davis.
It's weird. This is like
we
that,
both admire you.
It's like that West Wing episode where Arnie Vinnick, it turns out the Republican candidate is actually pro-choice, and Matt Santos, the Democrat, is actually probably pro-life if he had his
druthers. It is like that West Wing episode.
Very famous.
Who is the Vinnick? Who the Santos?
Well, I think I'm to Finnick.
You are too, pal.
You know. Yeah, that's tough.
Hey, where can people listen to The Great Debates, Dan?
Here's the thing. We can listen to The Great Debates, all of us together, wherever podcasts are found, but also on Sirius XM Radio on the channel Sirius XM Insight. That's number 121. 6 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday.
So cool.
That's like rush hour.
Great time to have a podcast on.
Great time to have a debate.
Yeah, totally. Or it's just like afternoon snack at work for people here in the Pacific. So.
Afternoon snack.
That sounds really good.
Tea time.
Well, guys, I really enjoyed this episode.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.